Grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Father, our Lord, and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for our message, Jesus says in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." We pray. Lord Jesus, we know that on our own we do not want to receive you. We do not see you as who you are. So we pray that the Spirit that came upon you would come upon us, that we would see you and receive your message, your love for us, through your gospel, through the freedom that you give to us. And help us to follow you, even as you bore such a difficult road to save us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. To start out, we'd like to do a short skit for you. So one of our volunteers come forward, help us out with that. Don't worry, we'll be painless, I promise. All right, so you guys want to start over here. So you got it, you
got it. No.
Okay.
Okay.
I think.
Okay. Boy, that's a pretty nice chair. I can sit here. We're stuck.
You guys got some problem over there?
We were trying to get weight up, but it didn't work out. And now
okay.
We're stuck.
Okay.
And I don't think my daughter wants to be that close to me.
Can you get out of that chair, Wade?
Yes.
No.
Very short, right? Not too much to that, but it's a skit called the Sin Chair. And if you kind of get the idea, is that it's the idea of the power of sin in our lives is what we're trying to communicate there. And just like everybody, we're stuck in a chair of sin and we can't get out. And a lot of times we don't want to admit that it's really there, or we don't want to think that I'm really stuck in this chair. And at first, we come to it and it seems like, oh, this isn't so bad. It looks comfy. It looks cozy. I think I'll just sit down. It's a little uncomfortable at times, but I don't know. It's not so bad. We kind of continue in our sin more and more, and then eventually it gets to a point where we're like, wait a minute, I don't want to sit here anymore. Maybe this isn't so good. We try to get up, but we find we can't. We're stuck in the chair. We're stuck in the sin. We can't free ourselves. Other people might try to come and help us to get us out, but they find that, you know what, they can't either. They find that they too are stuck in the power of sin. Can't do anything. The only thing that can free us is that when Jesus comes and frees us. And that's the mission of Jesus That's why he reads the scroll in Luke chapter 4 from Isaiah and says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He's brought me to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, freedom for the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." See, this is right at the beginning of his ministry. He's telling people who he is and why he's about to do what he's going to do. "This is my mission. This is why I've come." And he's doing it in a church service, in the synagogue. Right? It'd be kind of strange if someone just got up and said that, right? If we didn't know Jesus yet. And so they're kind of shocked. They know this Messiah is supposed to come, this guy from the one who's Isaiah is pointing to, right? Well, all the scriptures in the Old Testament point to this Messiah who's going to come save the people of Israel, deliver them from their enemies, redeem them, set them free. And this is the fifth song in Isaiah that points to this suffering servant, this Messiah who's going to come and save and deliver his people. And Jesus gets up and reads it. Well, that wasn't so dramatic. What's more dramatic is that he says, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Today, I'm telling you who this is. It's me. I'm the one who was to come to do all this." And you imagine, the reaction is kind of strange, isn't it? I mean, doesn't that sound like good news if someone came? "Wow, the fulfillment of hundreds and hundreds of years! This is it! He's finally come! Our Savior!" Is that what they say? What? Isn't that the carpenter's son? Isn't that Mary and Joseph's son? Don't we see his brothers? Yeah, I see his brothers over there. I saw his sisters. We know who that is. He's trying to pull the wool over our eyes, but it's not going to work. It's just Jesus, the carpenter's son. Oh, isn't that nice? He's saying such kind words. He's such a nice guy. Then, of course, he goes on to reveal their unbelief in him, saying that no prophet is accepted in his hometown. Meaning, basically, they didn't accept him. He came to his hometown, and his own people, they rejected him. Then he goes on to describe how it was the same in the past with Israel, too. When God had reached out to them during the times of Elijah and Elisha, those are times of famine, times of poverty. And the only people that had faith were these Gentiles, these outsiders. This widow from Zarephath, and this Naaman, the Syrian, the commander of the army of Syria, one of Israel's enemies. These are the people who received the Lord. So, you can imagine their anger then when he tells them this, right? They say, not only don't you get it, but you guys haven't got it. You think you got it, but you don't got it. It's just like the past. So learn from these examples of faith. It's not always where you expect it to be. And instead of acknowledging their nature that, yeah, we have been a stubborn and rebellious people, you're right. Maybe you really are the Messiah. What if you are? Well, no, they don't do that. They go to throw him off a cliff. Right? So I figure, see, when I preach today, I figure I can. It will probably go better than that. So then I have the Jesus when he preached the sermons. It's like, okay, all right, it can't be worse than that, I don't think. So that's good to know. But even when Jesus in the flesh came to them and said this, they didn't receive him. Because we have a problem looking beyond what we can see. One of the reasons why it's so hard to receive the prophet in the hometown is because the hometown thinks they know who the prophet is. It's still one of my hardest things, and other pastors, right, we don't like to preach. I shouldn't say don't like to, but it's very difficult to preach in our home congregations where we grew up, right? So what are they thinking? Aw, that's so cute. That's nice. He's going to read from the Bible and tell us some nice things, and that's just great. He said some hard things there, but he's probably just angry or something like that, so, right? I know him. He's Steve's son, you know. I saw him when he was this big. He's so cute. Oh, they failed to look beyond the person to see Christ reaching out to them. Same thing with Jesus. They failed to look beyond what they knew to see the Messiah reaching out to them. Now, to understand what Jesus means with these words and his mission, his purpose, when he quotes Isaiah, it's really important to understand the year of Jubilee. When he closes that with the year of the Lord's favor, what is this referring to? It's probably referring to the year of Jubilee, something in the Old Testament that the Israelites celebrated every 50th year. So every 6 years they would have a Sabbath year. If you think about Jesus, God created the world in 6 days on the seventh day he rest. An example of that pattern. And so every seventh Sabbath year, every 49th year, they would have the year of Jubilee in the 50th year. It's just so fascinating sometimes when we read the scriptures, because it's like, wow, it's incredible how this helps us to understand who Jesus is and why he came for us. Because the time of the year of Jubilee was a time of Jubilee. It was a time of joy, a time of celebration. A time when, get this, prisoners and slaves and bondservants were freed. When debts were canceled and forgiven. When people returned to their own clans, when people returned to their own property. A time of restoration. A time of rest from working the fields. And God said, you can just eat what grows. You don't have to work the fields because I'm just going to bless you abundantly with what I give to you. So the time of rest, a time of restoration as a people of God. What is Jesus saying? The Spirit has anointed me. The Messiah actually means anointed one. He's saying, God has anointed me, God has chosen me to fulfill this purpose. To proclaim good news to the poor. Was the year of Jubilee good news to the poor? Yeah, because you were in debt, so you had to sell yourself as a servant to pay off your debt, or you had to sell your property to pay off your debt. But in the year of Jubilee, that was forgiven and restored to you. Jesus comes to preach good news to the poor in spirit, those stuck in the sin chair, those who can't free themselves. We don't want to think about it or admit it. He comes to preach good news that our debt of sin is canceled. It's been removed. And he set us free from our slavery to sin, to Satan, who would hold us captive, who we cannot free ourselves from. Freedom for the captives, freedom for the oppressed, and recovery of sight to the blind. To give the eyes of faith to see Jesus for who he is and for why he's come. To look beyond the pastors, to look beyond the people, to see the message of the Messiah, of Jesus. And so has begun the year of the Lord's favor. The year when Jesus is releasing people even today from bondage to sin, bondage to the devil, proclaiming good news to our poverty. And in the midst of our suffering and broken world, this isn't the way it's always going to be. There's going to be a day when it's all restored. And you're going to inherit that. You're going to inherit the promised land. Because I've come and I've delivered you from your sins. It might have gone badly if, you know, they actually did throw Jesus off the cliff. That would be an interesting ending to the story, wouldn't it be? And then they threw Jesus off the cliff. This is the gospel of the Lord. Yeah. Probably would have been. It would have been a short gospel. But you know what? That's not the way it ended. Right? Surprise. Yeah. It's not the way it ended. Because you know what? Jesus wasn't just a man. He was the Son of God. He was the Messiah and is. And the powers of the world and of the devil could not overcome him. Even though he was rejected and they tried to kill him, they couldn't do it. You know, and even when we want to reject what God tells to us, and just like that, throw him off a cliff, instead of rejoicing in his presence with us, he doesn't leave us. We can't get rid of Jesus. He's not going away. We can choose to reject him, but we can't get rid of him. And that's good news. So that means Jesus is still going to carry out his mission. See, that rejection that he had in his hometown was a foretaste of the rejection he would get when he went to the cross. Be crucified by his own people, the Jewish people. Suffer and die for the sins of the world. He asked for even those Gentiles, those outsiders, those people who we don't think get it, you and me, who are stuck in the chair so that we could be delivered, forgiven, set free. How he anoints us with the same Spirit to proclaim that good news. So we can say those words. Those words apply to me too. Not that I'm the Messiah, but that I have the Spirit of the Lord, the Messiah, in me to point others to him. And if Jesus was rejected, you can bet that people are going to reject it, right? You can't say, oh, Jesus, he just didn't, you know, preach that sermon right. Wasn't it? It's inevitable. People are going to reject it. But what's also true is people are going to receive it. And Jesus is going to reveal himself to people. And restore them and set them free, just like he has you and me. So we go forth anoint it, and joy in the freedom that our Lord has given to us. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds firmly in Christ Jesus, who suffered and died for us and rose again. Amen.